Okay, tonight is Monday night, January 27th. This is the Gemara Shir, Moed Katan, Yud Tet Amud Bet. Okay. We are on Daf Yud Tet Amud Beis. And the Gemara had cited the opinion of Abba Shaul, who applies the halacha of mitzvah hayom kekulo to the last day of Shiva, so that in effect the last day of Shiva counts as the seventh day of Shiva and the first day of the Shloshim, because the Shiva comes to an end sometime in the morning, and the expression which the Gemara used was that the Shiva comes to an end in the morning, in the middle of the page, Kiman Azla Hoda Rav Amram, about 10-12 lines from the top, Amar Rav, Ovel Kevon She'omdu Minachamim Me Etzlo Mutu Berechitza. That as soon as the mourners leave the house, so typically if there is a minion in the house, after the mourners of the last day of the minion in Shacharis leave, then the Shiva is over and he's permitted to engage in Rechitza. And the Gemara said, Kiman, who is that in accordance with? Abba Shaul. It's in accordance with Abba Shaul's opinion. So today we're going to see a Machloikus Achroinim as to whether or not Mitzvah Hayoyim Kekulo applies if the last day of the Shiva is a Shabbos. If you begin the Shiva on a Sunday, so the last day is going to be a Shabbos. Typically there are no Minachamim that come on Shabbos. So we're going to see, starting with a tshuva of the Bach, who says that we do not apply the halach of Mitzvah Hayoyim Kekulo when the last day of Avelus happens to be a Shabbos. So if you'll take page 10a, the tshuva of the Bach, it is tshuva number 53, and he writes, She'ela, Avel shechal shvi'i shelo b'Shabbos. In Avel, whose seventh day of the Shiva is a Shabbos, mutar likroso l'sefer Torah b'Shabbos imlo. Question is, can I call him up for an aliyah on Shabbos morning or not? Ve'im asur, and if it is prohibited on Shabbos morning at Shacharis to grant him an aliyah, afilu b'mincha. What would be the halacha concerning giving him an aliyah on Shabbos, on at the mincha? Now this is a very practical question, because the halacha states that when a person gets up from Shiva, he is a chiyuv. He should get an aliyah. So the question is, can I give him an aliyah that Shabbat morning or Shabbat afternoon or not? Says the Bach, tshuva, le'anias dati, the asur kol hayom, that the entire day he is not to be called up, not only during, not during Shacharis, but not during Mincha as well. Af al gav de ka'omar Talmuda beperek elu megalche. Even though the Gemara says in the third perek of Moed Katan, de kasavar la Abba Shaul mitzvah hayom kekulo, that Abba Shaul is of the opinion that we apply the principle of mitzvah hayom kekulo. Ve'amrinan hasam, and the Gemara says, Kiman azla ha daramar Rabbi Akiva amar Rav. Who does this opinion follow? Which opinion? Avel kevan she'amdu haminachamim me'etzlo, and Avel, as soon as the minachamim leave, mutar, he is permitted to bathe. Kiman ke Abba Shaul, upasak hasam hilchasa ke Abba Shaul. And in the Machloikis between the Tanakhama and Abba Shaul, between the Chachamim and Abba Shaul, the Gemara says that the halacha is like Abba Shaul against the Chachamim, who claim that we do not recite, say, and apply the halacha of Mitzvah Sayyam Kekulo. We paskin like Abba Shaul that we do. Nonetheless, says the Bach, Nira didafka bechol. The only time that we apply the principle of Mitzvah Sayyam Kekulo, says the Bach, is only during the week. Hasam hu dika'ama. There is when Abba Shaul's halacha applies. The kevan de asa ma'ase avelus b'mitzas hayoyim, since he engaged and observed some of the laws of mourning for part of the day, let's assume it had been a Tuesday, which was the last day of the Shiva, we treat it on chashuv kikulo. V'yotza yedei chovaso b'masei avelus she'osa b'mitzas hayoyim. And he satisfies his obligation of the seventh day with the ma'asei avelus that he observes on the last day, part of the last day. U'batel v'menu gzeiras zayin legamrei. And the Shiva is terminated completely as soon as Mitzas Hayoyim is spent observing in Avelos. Umutar afilu berechitza. And he is permitted to engage in bathing after the Shiva has come to an end. V'afal gav derechitza hevedvarim shebitzina. Even though rechitza is not a public manifestation of Avelus, and I could have said, you know what, maybe public expressions of Avelus should come to an end in the morning after Mitzvah Sayyim, but private elements of Shiva should perhaps remain, says the Bach, that is not the case. Mekevan she'asa ma'ase hanikar mishum Avelus, Yotze yodei chayvasai legamle. Once he observed something noticeable about Avelus during that morning, then the halach of Mitzvah Sayyim is applied and the rest of the Shiva is terminated completely. Aval b'yoyim Shabbos. But when the seventh day of the Shiva occurs on Shabbos, De'eino noheg bo eladvarim shebitzina. But then, when you do not observe public expressions of Avelus, the only thing that you observe on Shabbos are dvarim shebitzina, only things that are observed in private, kol hayom asur bidvarim shebitzina. Then, All of the day, the entire Yom HaShabbos is prohibited for those Dvarim Shebetzina. Dilo yotza yidei chovas sfiras zayin, elo beoso ma'aseh shenikar mishum avelus. You can only satisfy your obligation of the last day of Shiva if you engage in a type of an action which is demonstrative to all that you are observing Avelos.
How does Shabbos work at all?
But?
And how would he ever be upset with Shabbos altogether?
Because you don't have to apply Mitzvah Sayyam Kekula.
No, but according to that logic, he never does anything with Shabbos.
Okay, that is correct. It's a good question. But then he knows that he can't say that, because otherwise you'd observe Shiva for 8 days. Otherwise, it would be 8 days.
Right.
So you don't know. Therefore, he says he knows you can't say that. But to apply the halacha of Mitzas Hayoyim, that only takes place when there is a trigger. The trigger is a Maisa Avelus Hanikar. When the Shabbos is the day four of the Shiva, I don't need a Maisa Hanikar to trigger anything, because nothing is being triggered. Just the passage of the day. But if you want to terminate the seventh day early, then you need a Maisa HaNikar. Yeah.
But in a way, it's punishing the Avel for something that's not his fault. He would have been observing a Leil Shabbos. You're not allowed to. So therefore, you lose an extra day of the Shlosh. I mean, what's the Nafkamina? He can't do it in Mitzvah Sayom. He can't do it in Kol Hayom. Why should he lose out on that extra day? Just because he's not allowed to do it on Shabbos?
Yeah, because you're lacking something. His point is that in order to apply, really you should be observing a full 7 days. You want to go through Mitzvah Hayom, this is his opinion. You need a Maisa HaNikar on the last day to trigger Mitzvah Hayom Kekula.
And what is that Maisa?
One second. What?
What is that Maisa HaNikar? Having Menachemim at the house?
No. Not wearing shoes. Wearing sneakers, sitting on the floor.
I see. And those you don't do on Shabbos.
Right. Yes.
How about the Amakom Yenachem you do Friday night in Shul?
What about it?
Is that that's on Shabbos? Isn't it?
No, it's not. It's Friday. That's why we do it right before Mizmor Shiluy on Shabbos.
But it's still after Shabbos.
It's Friday. It's not Shabbos yet. And the Rav always said that the reason why we do so is to alert Avelim that there is no halach of Chatzos on Friday. As opposed to Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov, but on Shabbos, you're supposed to sit technically until Shkia Sachama. So how do we alert that there is an obligation to Shkia Sachama? Until the last second before we are Makabu Shabbos, we're still being Menachem Avelim on Shabbos. On Friday. Yeah.
I just know from my own experience, both my parents on Har Menuchot, in each instance on Shabbos, when I was in shul, people would come up and Shabbos, not Friday night, but Shabbos, davening, and say, Hamakom Yenachem. And I was surprised, and they said, no, Vietzach Mezuk.
There's no Isur of being Menachem in Avel on Shabbos.
But that's not considered.
No, that's not your nihug. It needs your nihug of a halacha, which is a public demonstration of avel.
So it's nihug, not status.
Correct.
So
that's correct.
During the week, an avel extended, on the Yom Tzom,
right?
And laning mincha, he can get the aliyah mincha.
Why is that?
If it's a regular Yom Tzom.
What's the problem?
He should be able to get an aliyah mincha
on the seventh day.
On the seventh day, you can get one at Shacharis.
Yeah.
Not only Mincha, you can get one at Shacharis. If you observe Mitzvah Sayon Kekulo, you can call somebody up that day, the seventh day. If, let's assume there was no minion. If he didn't have a minion, right? So the Menachemim came without a minion. Now he's going to Shul to Davi. In theory, certainly for Mincha, he can call up. Yeah.
Mitzvah Sayom needs to be the day, not the night before.
We said that last time. That we don't apply Mitzvah Sayom to Kulo at night. We said that. Yeah.
The Bach will definitely hold you can't start a Leos on Shabbos then.
What is that?
The Bach will definitely hold you cannot start a Leos on Shabbos because there also wouldn't be no meal. No.
That's correct. And that there are in that halacha there are many. First of all, there's only one way to start with Shmur Rechayka. That's it, right? But other than that, there are many who say that he's not. This area is going to be subject to a debate. We don't paskin like the Bach. We paskin that Mitzvah Sayon Kekulo applies Shabbos as well. We don't agree with the Bach. Usvarazu kasav ha'ashri al shem haramban. The Ashri cites this in the name of the Ramban. Auvda de Rav Chista. The Amale, if you look, it's on Daf, I believe it's on Daf Chaf Amud Bet. Yeah, so go to Chaf Amud Bet for a minute. If it actually starts on the bottom of Chaf Amar Aleph, the last line. Rav, v'harav bar achva de Reb Chiya, deheva bar achte de Reb Chiya, ki solik lahasa, okay, what the relationships are, omale Abba Kaya, is Pop still alive? Omale Ima Kayemes, mother's alive. So he inferred from that statement that what? That his father had passed away. And inferred from that the mother passed away. So, what did he do? He talked to Amale Lishame, Chalots Li Min Ali. Take off my shoe. Take off my shoe. Now, this particular piece of information came to him more than 30 days after his father died. So this was a Shmur Rechaika. Now, in order, how much does a person sit Shiva, as we will learn, for a Shmur Rechaika? One day. And it doesn't even have to be a full day. It only has to be Mitzvah Sayyim. That's what the Gemara will learn it when we get to that Gemara. And the only way in which he triggered the Avelus was by taking off his shoe. Why couldn't he simply observe the Mitzvah Sayyim by doing what? Without doing something positive. By not bathing himself, by not learning Torah. The answer is because it's not Nikar. If you don't learn, that's no evidence that you're an Ovel. Lots of people are not learning all day. And lots of people, you don't take a shower. Shower is something you do in private. You don't do that in public. So since in order to trigger the Mitzvah Hayoin for a Shmua Rechaika, he had to do something which was a Maisa Hanikar, says the Bach, says the Ashri, who quoted the Ramban, I didn't see it in the Ramban, but the Ashri does say it, says, Kal v'choymer ben benoif shal kal v'choymer, by regular Avelus. Because Shmua Rechoka is Avelus kill, much more less severe than regular Avelus of Shiva. If in order to establish Mitzvah Hayoin by Shmur Rechoika, it required a Maisa Hanikar, so too, says the Bach, it requires Maisa Hanikar even to trigger the halach of Mitzvah Hayoin Kekulo for a day. And Shabbos, you can't engage in Maisa Hanikar. Vizelushona the Bishmua Rechoka Ein Isur Ella bin Inas Hasanda. Ad Mikomakom Eno Yotse Yede Chavaso Behefseg Ze Ad Shia Ase Dover Hanikar Mishum Avelus. Ad Kad Mushona Alma. The afilu bishmua rechoika, the kill, the eino noeg avelus elishoa achas, eino yotze yidei chavaso achiyase mase hanikar. Afal gav shehifzik shoa achas mimelacha, even though he may not have done any work for an entire hour, ume esa katoira, and he would not have studied Torah. In Cain, Kolshkein Bigzeira Shiva, the Pshitahu, the Bizayan Shelo Nami, Afal Pisheino Noeg Elosho Achas, Eno Yotse Yidei Chavoso, Bameshe Mafsik Achar Cain, unless Ela in Cain, Bose Masa Shenikar Mishum Avelos. The Kavan, the Bishabas, Osur lo la'asos masa b'faresya shenikar mishum avelus imkein lo batel mimenu din zayin kol hayom v'asur bidvarim shebetzina kol hayom. And as a result, he has to observe all things that are observed in private an entire day. The chol heicha shetzorech la'asos ma'ase shoa achas shenikar mishum avelus ve'eno ose eno yotze yidei chavosa. He does not satisfy his requirement. Hilkach lo batel mimenu din zayin v'tzorech nilinhog v'tvarm shebetzina kol hayom v'lalos l'tora nami darm shebetzina k'dekasaf arash heviu hatur simin ches hilkach kol hayom osul likroso l'seifatay. Not getting an aliyah is not a public demonstration. Of course, this was the heter of the Rabbeinu Tam. When the Rabbeinu Tam's sister died, he told the Gabbai to call him up for Shlishi on Shabbos in the middle of his Avelos. Because the Rabbeinu Tam got Shlishi every single Shabbos. And if he would not be called, that would have been observing Avelos b'Fahesya. So he told the Gabbai, call me up, make believe it's just a regular ordinary Shabbos. But for most of us, that doesn't apply. And the fact that we don't get called up to the Torah is considered bitzina. So nobody knows the difference. And that's not a Maisa Hanikar. Hence, you are not permitted to be called up, neither for Shacharis nor for Mincha, claims the Bach.
But for an Avil, though, for an Avil, it is Farhesi, because normally if an Avil finished with Avelus, he would get it. He would have gotten, he would have been...
Not necessarily. Doesn't have, who said so?
The first... I mean, everybody knows it's the first Avil.
You don't have to give him that first time. In fact, usually it would not be for Shacharis. He could probably be davening Shacharis at home.
Just to know about Shabbos is talking about Mincha.
Correct. So he wants to know by Mincha. Right. So maybe you would give him Monday morning, that's all. You know, it doesn't necessarily... It means you're supposed to give him at the first opportunity.
Yeah,
okay. But he says that's still not considered. Yeah. That's the opinion of the Bach. And he just goes on and says the same thing 20 times.
Yeah.
But it's, very important, very important. However, many, many disagree with the Bach. Many disagree with the Bach. And there are several opinions how you disagree with the Bach. If you take now page, let me just tell you which one. Yeah, take the Taz on page 10b.
B or D?
10b. Bitur Kosa Acharze, Baharabenu Yechiel, Kosa She'ain Shabbos Olalo Betchilas Aminyan. He deals with your case, whether you can start Shiva on a Shabbos. In a case of Shmua Krova, not Shmua Rechoika, a Shmua Krova within 30 days observes all 7 days of the Shiva. So can you observe the first day on Shabbos after you heard the information that the person passed away? So that would be applied mitzvah hayom kikulo to the Shabbos at the beginning. Mitzvah hayom kikulo at the beginning. Because that's when you will have heard about the news. And he says, She'ein Shabbos olalo b'tchilas haminyan elo yaschil limnos b'yom aleph. When do you start the Shiva? When the Shmua Krova arrived on Shabbos, you will observe it on Sunday.
Krova.
So it's going to be a full Shiva. So you only start sitting Shiva on Sunday, you know, Saturday night. Vehevele yom shvi, shvi lavelus, vinoeg bo dvarm shibitzina b'mitzus hayoyim, ad kan lushona. Upasak beis Yosef kedeo rishona. Fine, and then I want to show you where he gets to our topic.
Well, he said it there, really. He said it already. He said, Yom HaShvi Aveilus Noeg bo dvarm shibitzina b'mitzus hayoyim. That's Shabbos.
Yeah. It's right after he continues right there.
Yeah.
The second morning.
The Vesikan Yiver of the Chil Lomon Men, she may The Ein Lino Bo Isur Bidvarim Shabitzina, Ella Bemitzus Hayayim, the Hainu Bishachris Behonei Tzacham. That what happens on the seventh day of Shabbos? When does he observe Avelus too? Till? To sunrise. Hanetzachama. And Mitzvah Sayyim starts automatically. As soon as the sun rises. Based on the fact that you reminded us that we don't apply Mitzvah Sayyim at night. So when does Mitzvah Sayyim kick in? As soon as sunrise comes on Shabbos morning, that's the end of the Avelus. That's the end of the Aveilus. That's the simple pshat according to the Taz in the name of the Rabbeinu Yechiya. There is another opinion quoted that we don't apply Mitzvah Hayayim at Netzach Hama on a Tuesday. When do we wait until Menachem? When do we come? At Sheyetzu HaMenachemim. So there are some Achrayinim who say, let's assume, when normally will the Menachemim leave? It's hard to come up with an exact time. But let's assume you davened around 7 o'clock. Okay? On a Tuesday morning. So when the davening's over, 7:30 or 4 to 8. How long will people hang around? A half hour or something. So by 8:15, 8:30, 9 o'clock the latest, Menachemim are gone. So some Achrayim say that even if it's a Shabbos, you have to wait until the time that the Menachem would have left had there been Nichum Avelum Shabbos morning. That's a third opinion. The Taz is the plain halacha, the simple halacha, that we apply Mitzvah Sayyim at Netzach Hama. Others say you wait until that particular time. There is a fourth practice. Apparently, there was a practice to escort the Avel home on Shabbos after davening. That was the practice. It's quoted by a variety of Achroyim. That the Avelim would come to Shul Shabbos morning, and then they would not be allowed to walk home alone. Everybody in the shul would escort the Avel to the home. So many Achroinim say that if that's the practice in that community, you cannot terminate the Shiva until that takes place. And that substitutes Achiyamdu HaMenachamim, until the Menachamim will get up. Well, here, they're getting up and going with you. When they reach your house, and you enter and they leave, that's when Mitzvah Hayayim will now go into force. And until that time, you must observe all Isurei Avelus of Dvarim Shebitzina.
Was that done on Shabbos as well?
Only on Shabbos. Only on Shabbos it was done. Because during the week it was done, they did it in the house, and then they got up. It was only done on Shabbos. Yeah.
So this rejects the notion of Davar HaNikar.
Correct. Yeah. All three of the opinions
do. They totally, it's not an element.
That is correct. That is correct. So there are four opinions. The most chomor is the Bach, who says you gotta, there's no mitzvah sayyam on Shabbos. All the other opinions say Mitzvah Sayyim does apply. When? As soon as it's eligible. Eligible, Hanei Tzachama, and that's it. That's the way we paskin. That Hanei Tzachama, that's our halacha, is Shiva's over as soon as the sun rises.
They hold, none of them hold any value to Rav Chiya's.
That is correct. Nice. It is, Rav Chiya is accepted, perhaps, but only as a trigger to start Avelos. But not to bring about the halakha of Mitzvah Sayyam Kikulo.
That right. Yeah, the Rechoka on Shabbos itself.
It's a good question. What would he do? What would he do then? I don't know. Maybe when we get to the Gemara, we'll see. So there are four opinions about this particular issue. In fact, this fourth opinion about the Levoi was quoted by a tshuva of the Pnei Yeshua. However, the Bar Ilan doesn't carry shoot bar of the Pnei Yeshua. I don't know why, but they don't. So I couldn't focus that. I just saw it quoted somewhere.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
The issue, and you might have said this before, the issue of starting Avelos using Mitzvah Sayyam Kikulo,
mm-hmm.
That you actually need a maaseh, like you said, a maaseh Avelos. Right?
Yeah, that's what he learned. That's what he learned from.
Right, but you're just asking this, that by the Nates, you don't need a maaseh, so it's not, it's by Shabbos, you don't need any maaseh, it's the Nates of Maaseh,
We paskin against it. You don't need a Maaseh HaNikaru. The day not itself, Nikar. You the don't day. Need a Maaseh HaNikaru in order to bring about Mitzvah Sayyam Kikulo.
So if someone gets buried like 10 minutes before the day, the end of the day, you don't, and there's no Shiva sitting at all, that counts as a day?
No, you got to start. Everybody says you have to start sitting Shiva in order to count the day.
So why do you have to start even if it's a day like a Nikaru?
Because you got to start the day. You have to start Shiva. So what do? We do this at the cemetery. If it's very late, you sit down at the cemetery. And somebody comes over and says, I'm Malcolm Yenachem. If you want to get the day in, that's what we do. You have to start sitting Shiva.
With a double reason.
Doesn't the fact that you're sitting down... I don't
why
know
is it different?
I don't know if it's the Dover HaNikar that does it or the fact that you're at least sitting. But you can't... Shiva doesn't start automatically. It has to have... a Maisa to demonstrate I am beginning the Shiva today. Right now. And that's what we do. If the burial is very late, you sit in the cemetery and that's what you do. And then you go home.
The two roses with Amakom don't count for that?
No, that's Oimdim Bashura is something else.
So as long as they say Shiva would start on Shabbos,
yes.
What do they say? They don't need any Maisa to start Shiva? It starts by itself?
Yeah, starts by itself. Yeah. Or you just don't have, you don't have to have a Davar HaNikar. Just don't learn Torah, that Shabbos, don't do whatever else is considered appropriate for Dvarim Shabbatzina. So if he said, the Bach says that not washing yourself is the Dvarim Shabbatzina. So don't wash yourself. So
according to the West opinion, the weed way on Shabbos morning, how is that not a
That's a good question. If I had seen the whole tshuva of the Pnei Yeshua, perhaps he'd discuss it. Just so somebody quoted him in terms of his practice. Yes.
Maybe because it's not a practice of the Ovel. It's a practice of the community. The Ovel is not doing anything representing the Shiva. He's out of the house. He was in Shul, which right. is great enough. It's good.
It's a demonstration of a nechamas hatzibur.
Right.
Good. That's good. I like that. Good. I want to use this as a point of departure in terms of understanding the nature of the observance of shloishim. And this is based on a shiur I heard from Arvaron Lichtenstein. Where he tried to define the mahut of the Isur of Shloshim. And in order to use, his point of departure was, page 10c, how the Mechaber begins the discussion of Rechitza, the Isur Rechitza. And I hope everybody knows why I selected the numbering system, 10A, 10B, all the way to 10H. I hope you know.
We think we know.
No,
we
idea.
Eli.
Eli, of course. In honor of Eli.
So next week is 41.
What?
Next week is 41.
Who's 41?
24.
No. Can compare. We'll have a machloikis whether it should be 8 or 24. Because he had two numbers. That's a terrible tragedy. There's no doubt. For the wife to lose a husband and a daughter at the same time, it's just it's unbearable. Yeah. Okay. So the Mechaber in Shin Pei Aleph writes as follows. Rechitza Keitzah. Asur lirchot kol gufo, afilu b'zona. You are not permitted to bathe one's entire body during the shiva, even in cold water. Avol panav yadav raglav, face, hands, and feet. Bechamin asur b'zona mutter. You're not allowed to wash them in hot water, but you can wash your hands, feet, and face with cold water. Vim hayom meluchlach mitit v'tzoa. And if somebody is dirty, full of cement or excrement or anything else, rocheitz kidarko ve'eino choshesh, then he can wash with hot water, soap, and he has nothing to worry about. That's the Mechaber. Says the Ramah, v'chol ze midina eino osur rak shiva. All of this which the Mechaber just said, al pidin, is only asur for the shiva. Aval acharke, during the shloishim, mutar berechitza. It's completely mutar berechitza. Elashin nohagu ha'idna le'esor rechitza kol lamedyom. It has become customary, says the Ramah, not to engage in bathing for the entire 30 days. And in fact, there is the word kol in parentheses. Not only le'esor rechitza, but even kol rechitza, which would mean that you could not take a cold shower, forget about a hot shower, for the entire shloshim. Va'afilu lachuf harosh asur. Even to just to what? Scalp your hair, wash your hair off, is asur. Ve'ein l'shanos haminog, and one should not change the minog. Ki minhag kadumhu, it's a very early minhag, al pi vasikin. It's based on the vatikin, the pious people of the generations, who started this minhag, and in the parentheses it says it's quoted by the Or Zeruah in the name of the Rashba. That's what the Ramah says. Yeah. Now, let's try to understand what the basis of this chumrah happens to be. The fact that the Ramah said that al pidin, an ovel during shloshim is permitted in rechitza, it's not the Ramah's chiddush. That's our Gemara. Our Gemara said it. We read it. We read it a few minutes ago. What the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav, ovel, kevan she'amdu minacha memeetzlo, mutar rechitza. So the Gemara says that after the shiva is terminated, when the menachamim leave, rechitza is permissible. And the Gemara means rechitza afilo bechamin. Bechamin. And in fact, the Gaon makes this observation on page 10b, is the Guru. The The Rama wrote the Kol Zeh Medina Kimo Shekasuv Yutes Amud Beis Avel, Kevan Sha'amdu HaMenachamim Mutar Berechitza. So it's not a great chiddush of the Rama that Rechitza is permissible during the Shloshim. It's right, black and white in the Gemara. The Gaon's just pointing that out. Take a look at the Shach on page 10e. Elishinohagu ho'idna le'esor v'chitza kolam. Kein tzorich lomar. That's the way the text should read. That the minog is not to engage in bathing throughout the entire shloshim. V'cheinu ba'iturei zahav. V'lo kimo shenitpas b'svarim kol rechitza kol lamed. But not the way what? It's printed in many texts that you're not allowed to engage in any bathing throughout the shloshim, meaning that not only chamin, hot water showers are prohibited, but cold water showers as well. Devadai rechitza bitzonon leka isura klal. Because there is no doubt, says the Shach, that there is no prohibition during the shloshim for rechitza bitzonon. Now, the Rama did not say that. The Rama, in fact, others, and Tataz will disagree with the Shach and say, black on white, that when the Rama said the minig is to oser rechitza during the shloshim, it's cold water and hot water. And we are going to see a variety of explanations which will support the Taz and let the Shach remain difficult, and we will try to attempt to resolve the opinion of the Shach as well. Yes?
So what's the difference between Shiva and Shloshim?
Very big difference. Shiva, both are Asur.
But you're saying that, they're saying that cold Shloshim.
All Shloshim, according to the Shach, hot water is prohibited. So there is no difference. The Isur of hot water continues the Api Minog till the end of the Shloshim.
It's only the hot water.
That's according to the Shach.
Right.
According to everybody else, it's Asur everything, hot and cold water.
That's what I'm saying. So what's the difference?
There is none. For Rechitza, there is no difference. There is no difference. Correct. And in fact, based on the Shach's reading of the Ramah, the Rav's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, always paskened that you're allowed to go swimming during the 9 days. Why does he say you're allowed to go swimming during the 9 days? Because he, his son, the Rav, his grandfather, Rav Chaim, all believed that the way to look at the 3 weeks is not to look at it, new takanot of Avelos were established. They all have to fit into a category. So, starting with Rosh Chodesh, starting with the 3 weeks, Shivas HaBetamos, that's the equivalent of Yud Bet Chodesh, the Avelos of Yud Bet Chodesh. So what Isurim exists during Yud Bet Chodesh? No weddings, essentially, no parties, that's our minute. We don't have Chatunot during the 3 weeks. Then starts Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, which is the equivalent of Shloshim. So if the Shach said that during the Shloshim there is no Isur of Rechitza Bitzonon, therefore the Rav's father said there is absolutely no way to prohibit swimming during the 9 days, because swimming is Rechitza Bitzonon, and the Shach said it's not Asur. Then Tisha B'Av itself is compared to Shiva. All of the Isurei of Shiva apply during Tisha B'Av. Yeah?
I'm still trying to formulate a question. I'm not sure I grasp all of it, but that's okay.
Probably the issue of Sakana, that was not a big issue in the 9 days.
What?
The issue of putting yourself in Sakana, that was not a...
No.
That you don't put yourself in...
No, don't walk... If you, that's what people will tell you. But there's no Sakana in going swimming. Yeah, if you're going to go into the Atlantic Ocean and there are no lifeguards, and it's when, if you go in a little pool, it's more dangerous to cross the street than it is to go into a pool.
But that's the Shach, not the Taz.
That's correct, according to the Shach. He felt the Shach was right. We're going to try to explain him eventually in a theoretical construct. We're not, probably not going to get to the Shach tonight, but we're going to explain everybody else. Yes?
But isn't swimming a it's not a davar shebitzina, it's a davar shebitzina.
So what?
That's what, and
who cares? Who cares?
Shock. Yes.
So now let's try to understand what's happening here. What might be the basis of the Isur, basis of the Isur? And in fact, many of the other Nosei Kelim of the Shulchan Aruch, the Dagon Meravava and Rab Kiva Eger, black on white, say that the Shach is wrong and that the Ramah intended to prohibit during Shloishim even Rechitza Tzona. All types of bathing, even cold water, throughout the entire Shloishim. Throughout the entire Shloishim. Which would be an incredible, incredible demand upon people not to take a bath for a month. It's just unbelievable what they're expecting people, especially in our day where we can't imagine that at all. Yeah. Now, the author of the opinion amongst Rishonim who heard about this minhag kadum, the mismina kadum, was the Or Zeruah. So, page 10F. The last three lines. V'rechitza lo mitzra afilu bechamin elo shiva. U'kishinohak mitzah shvi'i, as soon as you observe part of the seventh day, rochetz bo bayom, the mitzah sayon kekula. You just said this. The Amar Rabbi Amram Amar Rav, Ovel, Kevan she'omdu menachamim me'etzlo, mutter v'rechitza. Perush Rashi, Ovel eino asuba rechitza elazayin yavin. That's it. Ubishvi gufei, kevan she'omdu menachamim me'etzlo baboker, mutter berechitza, the kaimelon ka'abashol, the mixas ayon kikula. So al pidin, there's no doubt that during Shloishim, all forms of rechitza are permissible. Uma she'ata nohagim shelo lichotz achar shiva, and that which the practice has become not to bathe during the Shloishim, kimduma ani, it appears to me, mipnei chayshinan dilma osi lemisrak reishay the asur kol Shloishim. I'm afraid that you're going to comb your hair and pull out some hairs. And there are two things which the Gemara explicitly prohibits for Shloshim. Tispores, taking a haircut, and wearing ironed or starched clothing. It never says that Rechitza is Asur, ever, during Shloshim. But it's a minna. Says the Or Zeruah, you know where I think the minna got started? By the fact that they were worried that after you take a bath or a shower, you're going to comb your hair. And when you comb your hair, you're going to pull out some of the loose fibers, like always has, and you'll violate the Isur of Tispolet. Yeah?
What if somebody goes to the mikveh?
What about it?
His hair is wet.
Okay, so that's bimko mitzvah loygozu barabana. And I'm not sure for a man if they would allow him to go to a mikveh just because he's a chassidish yid. For a woman, of course, they will allow, because there's a mitzvah for her to be tovel. And a mitzvah, whenever it's pimko mitzvah, loy gazru barabana. The gzera doesn't apply. However, for everybody else, says the Oros HaRuach, that's what I think the basis happens to be. Now, this is a little unusual. And I'll show you another area of halacha where it does apply, and we'll show that there is a difference between where it does apply and the application of the Oros HaRuach. Go to 10G for a minute. The Mishnah says in Nazir Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Nazir Chofev Umifaspes. What a Nazir is allowed to do, he's allowed to wash his hair and just like damp towel it. Avolo Sorek. He cannot use a comb to comb his hair throughout the entire 30-day Nazizus period. And the Gemara says it might be dependent on the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon whether a davashen and miskaven is mutter or not, because you have no intention of what? Taking out your hair. There's no intention. But anyhow, it's awesome. And the Rambam in next page, which is 10H, Halacha Yud Aleph, Perek Hey of Hilchos Nazirus, Halacha Yud Aleph, Nazir Shigilach Se'ara Achat Loke. A Nazir that takes off even one hair from his or her head gets Malkus. Bein Bitar, Bein Bezug. It makes no difference whether it's a razor or a scissors. For who she cuts it so me'ikara ke'entar. He cut it at the base like a razor does. Even if he ripped out one of his strands of his hair by his hand. Echad hamigaleya, the echad hamiskaleya. It's the barber violates a law, and you, the nazir, violate a law. Shine emar, ta'ar, lo ya'avor al rosho. A razor shall not appear on his head. V'meniach mimenu k'dei lokuf rosho li'ikara, eino loke. I don't want to go into that particular halacha. Based on the next page, page 10i, is the pasuk. Kol yimei neder nizro, ta'ar lo ya'avor al rosho. Ta'ar lo ya'avor al rosho. Now, I can say, it's not me, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, that despite the fact that there is an Isur by a Nazir, that may not have any application to another. Because by a Nazir, when the Torah writes, Tar lo yavor al rosho, what is the purpose of that particular law? What's the nature of the Isur? The Maisa Giluach. The Torah does not want any cutting of hair for a Nazir. Ta'ar lo ya'avor al rosho. It has nothing to do with making him look nice. That's not the reason why a Nazir can't cut his hair, because he's going to look nice if he trims his hair and pulls out some hairs that are sticking out too long. It's got nothing to do with it. It's the Maisa Giluach per se that is awesome. Maisa Giluach. And therefore, it makes no difference whether it's bemazed or beones. Makes no difference. You put any implement, any instrument that cuts hair, you get malchus, that's it. By an ovel, that when we say that tispores is asur for an ovel, it doesn't mean that what? That what's the halacha of tiglachas for an ovel? Oh, that pulling out one hair is what the isur is? No. What is the purpose of the isur of tiglachas by an avel? That you should look nice. We want you to look like a slob. That's the idea. That's the idea. But it's not the ma'aseh giluah. It's not the action itself of removing one hair. Moving one hair. But if the Or Zeruah says that, you know why you're not allowed to bathe during the Shloshim? It's because what? Because we're afraid you're going to start pulling out loose hairs. So it's like a gzera, and that's it. But once that is the reason, should there be any difference between hot water and cold water? Absolutely not. Why? Because whether you bathe in hot water or cold water, now you're going to run a comb through it, you're going to be taking out certain hairs, and maybe if you pull out enough of them, you'll look nice during the shloshim. You'll make sure that you run the comb exactly where it's a little too thick, a little too wild, and you'll look great. Or you'll look well groomed. And that's exactly what we don't want you to look like during the Shloshim. We don't want you to look well. But if that's the case, whether the source of water which leads to the combing is hot or cold, makes no sense whatsoever to be mechaler between the two. And that is the logic as to why those who disagree with the Shach, Rabbi Kiveger, the Dogma Mevacher, all say that when the Ramah prohibits bathing during the Shloshim, it completely prohibits for the Shloshim. Completely. Hot and cold. If this is the reason. It may not be the only reason. Yeah.
So the Pasuk talks about the act itself. Tara lo yavo arosho. If you look at the rest of the Pasuk, it does talk about it wants you to have a certain look. Of Gadel Paras.
Yeah, wild hair.
The wild look. So there is a purpose in it as well. It's not just the action itself. There is. It's
okay, I could hear that. Yes. I could hear that. But the definition of the lav is Lo Yavor Al Rosha. Tavro Lo Yavor Al Rosha. However, there might be another explanation for the Isur of Rechitza. And this is based on not the Or Zeruah, but rather a statement of the Maharal. No, I don't have the Maharam. I'm going to read it to you. A tshuva of the Maharam in Rutenberg. And he says as follows. Listen carefully. Acharei shiva mutarim lilchotz. After shiva, you are allowed to bathe. Avo hilchasa midina Nohagu shelo yirchotz kol shloshim. Hilchasa medina. There is a halacha medina that you should not bathe all 30 days. Now, the phrase hilchasa medina is borrowed from certain places. Let me tell you where it's found. If you go for a second to 10. What? 10L. It's a Gemara in Kiddushin. For a second. Yeah, 10L. The Gemara talks about whether Isurim are usur only in Eretz Yisrael or also in Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara says, after speaking about Chadash, Asur min HaTayr b'chol makom. Orla halacha v'haklayim idivrei sofrim. Orla is a halacha that it applies in Chutz La'aretz. Asks the Gemara, my halacha, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hilchasa Medina. Whatever that means. Hilchasa Medina, which the Maram in Rutenberg is now quoting as what? As a minhag. That there was a minhag to prohibit orla, the fruits of the first 3 years of a tree's growth, even in chutzlars. We don't paskin that it's a minhag. We say it's a halacha l'moshe Sinai. Mo came down from Sinai and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that orla is asur in chutzlars. And he also told me something else, that safek orla in chutz la'aretz is mutter. Even though safek orla is a safek d'oraisa, and you should go to chumrah, but part of the halacha l'moshe Sinai, the way we understand it, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's only orla vaday. That's why we basically don't have to worry about when you go into a fruit store that the apple might be orla. We don't have to worry about it. Why? Because we have no idea where the apple comes from. Yeah.
We use the same word in when we did Shulchan Aruch. It says, with Ramah, kol ze medina ein osur rak
b'pachshu. But there's a, he didn't call it Hilchasa Medina.
He said Medina, we said
Medina
that
means din. Not that Medina or Hadin. Correct.
Yeah.
But
Hilchasa is a little different?
Yes. In Hilchasa Medina is the expression here, which the Maram quotes with a minna, mehilchasa medina nohagu shelo lirchos. Hilchasa medina nohagu shelo lirchos. Shelo lirchos. Says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein explaining the Maram. You know what the isur of rechitza is during the shloshim? That the minhag became to extend the isurim of Shiva into the shloshim. It's not a gzeira that you're going to pull out your hair. Am Yisrael were machmir for certain halachas of Shiva not to terminate them when they got up from the Shiva. And said, we are going to extend the halachas of Shiva all the way to the Shloshim. So it's a regular Isur of Rechitza. Just as there was an Isur of Rechitza during the Shiva, there was an Isur of Rechitza during the Shloshim. Why? Because the Minhag became to extend certain Isurei Avelos. If that's the case, once again, the Taz and Rav Kibeger and the Dagan Maravava, that hot and cold are both asur. Because during the Shiva, everyone agrees that that the Isur Rechitza includes hot and cold water, and the Heter is only to wash your hands, face, and feet with cold water. That's it. But Rechitza's kol gufo is asur. So how would the Shach explain either case, even if you believe your Zeruah is correct, that it's the equivalent or the protection against Giluah, or even more fundamentally, how would he distinguish if this is the root of the Isur of Rechitza, how would he distinguish between hot and cold water? In what way did they suddenly, if the Isur Rechitza is an extension of Shiva, why suddenly should it become permissible? How would one extend the Shah? How would one extend the Shah? And this is what we will continue with next week, and then move on into the Gemara. To understand how the Shah will do so.
Right. Mias. The guy just supposed to be one. Yeah. Yeah. But there isn't. Mias is a
Isn't it?
It's less compelling in an environment where it isn't valid every day and anything. He used to go to the bathhouse once every week.
So basically, everybody around him was probably not showering.
But
this is
I know. I know.
Yeah, right. No, so what does he do? The Gemara says there's a difference between shiva and shloshim. When you finish mitzvah, you can now wash.
Oh, correct. But that's the din.
So how does he explain that?
That's the din. Everyone agrees that that's the din.
Oh, so he says
the question is, what's understanding? What is the root of the minhag to extend it to the shloshim? That's the kernel of the debate. Al pi din, everyone says
this is
the Rabban self-admitted.
Yeah. So this is clearly a difference.
Yes, no doubt.
The Shach can whip out and just say, once you can extend some and not extend others.
What?
You can extend some and not extend others.
Yeah, right. But why? Why would he distinguish between within one rechitza hot and cold?
Unless he comes up with the reason.
So what Rav Aaron's going to do is explain that there's a fundamental difference between Shloshim and Shiva, which will then explain the difference going to this.
And not that I have to allow
for certain, because the very essence of the experience changes dramatically.
Because I was just saying, the Gemara says there's a difference.
Right.
On the seventh day, once you get up, you're
right. So obviously, there's a difference.
Everybody agrees.
That's a good question.
But they took it.
I haven't seen any discussion. I have not seen. You know that I don't know.
I don't know too many people who don't.